What's up, my jujitsu? Thank you guys for tapping in, and we are back. It has been far too long. I'm not even gonna bore you guys with how long it's been. Took a little bit longer than expected. My life has been all over the place. DJ's life's been all over the place. We both have made moves and transitions into new realms of, I guess, life that we haven't been able to figure out yet. And if we want the show to go on, it has to be this digital format for now. There will be instances where things will be in person as much as possible. I'm going to try to get the show in person just because, like, I just feel there's more of a connection that we can not only get with our audience, but also with the people that we interview and get to meet. So the show is also going to be switching up to a 2 times per week, every other week format. I'm sorry, not 2 times per week. What am I talking about? An every other week format as opposed to every week format, just to give a little bit more time for editing and, you know, getting things out and process right while we're still in these transitional periods. It's going to just make it easier for us and make it to where we can keep the show going on. In addition to that, we do have new things we want to add in as far as techniques, thoughts of the weeks, different little individual one-on-one questions asked, because we've had a lot of questions come in from people. And we've also had people being like, hey, when y'all coming back? Y'all said X, Y, and Z. I'm sorry it took so long. I really am. But thank you guys for being patient with us. Thank you for sticking with us through this transitional period. Today's show is going to be centered around coaching and, you know, the transition from being a competitor to a coach and what that looks like for our guest, who is, you know, he's been on the show before. He's a really good friend of mine, and I can't thank him enough for coming on. Unfortunately, DJ is not able to join us today, but we are scheduled for next week, I think it is. Next week, he said he could tap in. No, you know, because luckily I will be in LA, we might even be able to do that one in person. So we'll probably just do a catch-up video with just me and DJ by ourselves just to get us going. But I, again, thank you guys for being patient with us. And thank you again for tapping in. Without further ado, it's My Jiu-Jitsu Academia. What's up, Casey, man? Thanks for joining me, man. I appreciate it.
What up?
Man, it sucks DJ can't be here, but it is what it is at the end of the day.
Yeah, man. I wanted to see him. I got a bone to pick with him.
Oh, well,
so I wanted to see him. It was something he said on the on a previous episode, and I wanted to address it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him before. I didn't say anything about it, but I wanted to address it on the same platform that he said it on. You know what I mean?
Does he need to be here for you to do it, or can you do it without him?
No. I mean, he said it when I wasn't on, but I want to make sure that he's on when I say it to him, because I want to refresh his memory.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, man. How's it been? I know it's been like, I would say it's been forever since I've seen you, but it's only been like a week.
Yeah. It feel like forever, right? It feel like forever. Man, it's been all good, man. It's a lot of things have been going on. A lot of things are going on with me. I'm stepping in a very like minor role here at Forge with teaching some classes. And it's like, it wasn't something like I was like, it wasn't something that it was never my thing. I think like it was, I remember it was is what we talked about on the first time I sat down with you. And I remember you wanted to be a coach.
Yeah.
And I remember saying like, I was like, oh, that sucks. Cause I'm like, I'm pretty selfish, man. I was like, kind of want to focus on what I want to focus on. And then I'm like, now that I have to step into the other role of, I have to focus on everything, you know? And it's not just like I'm just focusing on just moves, but I had to focus on moves for a big guy, a medium-sized guy, or a little guy. I got to focus on moves for a big girl, a medium-sized girl, and a small girl. And that sucks. You know, to like come up with all the alterations for that, and then like explaining it right, because I'm still like low ranking right now, and so like not only am I dealing with like
that's the situation of the school that we're both at. That has nothing to do with your skill. Any other school, you know, you'd be up there in purple belt.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still like. It's still like one of those things where it's like, I deal with imposter syndrome with something I've been doing for 20 years. So, you know, I'm really dealing with it with something, with something that I haven't been doing that long. Like, I'm really passionate about it. And I had an idea of what I wanted to do when it came to like, if I was to teach a class, I wasn't going to like really teach anything. I just wanted to drill. I wanted to put people in situations that they're normally in. And teach them how to get out of it properly. You know, like something like side control. Like there's not a lot of people who know how to properly get out of it. And you can see like, you can see people like using a lot of muscle, and it's not like the best way to do it. And if you know how to get out of it, you can start using it as a weapon. And I'm like, oh, like if people knew how to get out of like certain situations, like side control, mount, or back, they can really use it to their advantage. And the same vice versa. Like, if people know how to control those positions, it would serve them so much more in the game. Yeah. And so I was looking at it from that standpoint. I'm like, look, we're just going to like focus on that. But you learn very quickly, like people want to learn other stuff, you know? So it's a little intimidating, but, I'm going to say Professor Al. I'm not going to call him Coach Al. I'm going to say Professor Al. He's, like, been very gracious, and he's allowed me the space to learn, and he's given me time to, like, to do it. So I'm very grateful for that. But it's also, like, it kind of sucks, too, because I'm like, man, I got to step away from the competitor Casey and, you know, turn into Coach Casey.
You know, and that's actually one thing I want to talk to you about today is just, like, you kind of dived into that a little bit, but, like, what has been the hardest part about that transition from you from becoming a competitor to now becoming a coach?
Well, some people will say it's like the selflessness of it. Mm-hmm. But I believe that I've always been pretty selfless when it comes to like sharing what I know, sharing like the knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, like some people like they won't share like the secret sauce. I can care less, man. I can care less. You still got to train. You still got to, you know, figure it out. And to be honest with you, man, I'm going to try to relate this to something else because I was thinking about it. Like, so my girl is an artist. Like, she draws, you know, and when she was making these paintings, I remember when she was moving, she was giving her paintings away. And she was talking about it. She's like, art isn't yours. You know, like art comes out of you. And art is supposed to be shared, you know? And I feel the same. And this is a martial art, you know, so it's an art. So a move that I like doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the community. You know, it belongs to everybody. Okay. And so if I find a way to like utilize a move that, you know, that can help me and I can share that, that's what I'm supposed to do. It doesn't belong to me. And so that's how I always looked at it as far as that. Like, they said, oh, that's the biggest thing. So that's not having been the biggest thing for me. The biggest thing for me is, like, when I want to come in, I kind of want to focus on me, and I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I can't do what I want to do. I got to, like, what Coach told me was, like, oh, I got to start rolling like a little guy. So I got to figure out, like, what little guys do. That way I can start incorporating in my teachings, which sucks. Cause now I gotta start getting tapped out again. And I don't know, my ego doesn't like that part, man. That's probably been the biggest adjustment.
I always say the best way to get better is get tapped out more. So, I mean.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. I mean, but that's easier said than done.
Not that I need you to get someone, any better. My shoulder still hurts, bro.
Hey, well, Rico hasn't stopped talking about when you tap me out, so I don't want to hear. Like, he gets on my nerves.
Bro, I'm telling you, you let me reset my grip. Like, that. Like, it doesn't matter. You let me reset my grip.
No. When something happens, legit, I always call it legit. When I give someone, like, oh, yeah, you know, like, I allowed you to work there, but you finished it off, right?
Yeah.
No, you got that clean. I was mad. But I mean, I want you to know I don't forget neither, man. Don't forget. Hey, man. You got me with my move, and I'm going to get you back. I mean, I shouldn't say my move. You got me with a move that I like doing.
No. So, I feel that. And, you know, I don't ever forget either. That's why, who was it? When I made that little video, you were like, hey, why everyone got these cool little intros for showing me? And then I show you just getting like tapped out. It's like, nah, bro, yeah. You beat me a comp twice. I can't let you look good. You know?
Yeah. Hey, that was diabolical how you did that. Like, oh, I didn't think he knew what he was doing. You knew what you was doing.
And you know, what was it? Sometimes you gotta like show, like sometimes you can't get your get back the way you want to get it right away. So you gotta get it some other way. And then with you and me, I know it's all love, and I'm just, you know, it's more fun and games than just to fuck with you than anything, you know? So yeah.
I love our friendly rivalry, you know, like it keeps us both sharp. Like, Rico was really impressed with you last time you came in, and he was so impressed you called me. He's like, you got CJ, like, he's looking good. And when I came in, I felt you. I'm like, all right, he's feeling good. And even on days that I wasn't here, he was telling me how you were handling people. And just hearing that, I was like, crap, now I got to start, like, doubling up on classes now. You know what I mean? Because you're only, like, a couple of weeks, maybe, like, a couple of months away from someone catching you. And then it's almost like, I gotta stay in front of the eight ball type of thing. You know what I mean? So,
you know, honestly, I think you were talking about transitioning your game and thinking about like how to play differently. And while I recently got back from Italy, for the audience, I recently got back from Italy. So I did my training in Italy because I was going to compete in a competition. Long story short, it's not happening, or it didn't happen. But I had to revision my game too, in a sense of like, how do I control these people and how do I get better with people who are beginners? You know, I'm talking like the people I was training with, the school I went to, it was ran by a purple belt. Shout out to State of Mind Jiu-Jitsu for letting me train. Appreciate you. And the school's run by a purple belt, but all of his students are white belts. So it's like, how do I get better with just white belts in the room? And that was something I had to figure out myself. And it was really just about controlling position and working technique, you know. No, I'm not worried about submissions. I'm worried about making sure you're not going anywhere I want you to go. You don't make a movement unless I want you to make that movement. And so that's what I was working on, dialing in and figuring out and how to, I guess, direct people to the path that I wanted them to go to.
And essentially like slowing the game down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
That's a skill, like to be able to move someone and they think that they're making that decision, but they're not, like you're making that decision for them.
Yeah.
You know, like that, that's a skill. And that's also something that like I'm trying to teach. And I don't even understand it all the way. You know what I mean? I understand it in certain places, but not everywhere. And I think that's a really good one, man. That's a really good one. How was it with the white belts? Did you feel like you were getting what you needed?
Yeah, personally? Yeah, I think so. And it's weird because, you know, I was coming off that injury and then going back to training in a whole nother country, coming off an injury. It definitely was an adjustment period of like, how do I handle this? But then also, you were only training 3 days a week. We weren't training that many days a week. So it wasn't like I was, you know, like I am at Forge, where it's like You know, I'm hitting 2-3 classes a day, 5 days a week, you know, 6 a.m.s and night class, noon class, whatever the case is. It's like I get one shot at this and not a lot of roles at the end. So it was definitely a transition period. But I think the biggest thing that I can attribute to my success was just being willing to allow them to move enough and then reset the position. And just, like I said, put them back where I wanted them to put them, whether it be closed guard, whether it be half guard, whatever the case is. And then, you know, they had, you know, I always did that white belt strength. I always think of it like vampires, you know what I mean? Like the newly transformed vampires when they're just super strong. A lot of them wore that. And it was like, oh God, I also can't take any risk with you because you are that strong and you are coming at me full force, but you don't understand how to dial it back. You don't understand when to use your strength and it's applicable. You have to go 24/7 all strength all day. So it definitely required me to up my game. And I think it plays into where a lot of my coaches in the past have said, like, we want you to be more aggressive. And I don't know if aggressive was the right word from them, but it was more of like, just be more dominant, if that makes sense. Like, we want you to be able to dominate people, and you don't have to use strength to do it, but don't allow them to move from a position. Because a lot of times I get lost in, like, because I wanted to teach, I still do want to teach, but I think that's far off with my lifestyle now. I think that it was always like, well, I'm going to let you move so you can get a position so you can learn, or here's my arm so you can finish the mechanics of this. Where it's like, I threw that out the window. That's not happening anymore. Like, if you watch Solo Leveling, it's an anime, and it's just like, no, I'm solo leveling now. This is all about me and my goals. It's about what I want to do. This ain't about nobody else. And I'm getting a little bit more selfish with my jiu-jitsu.
Like I feel like this is like a complete, like, the tables have turned on the both of us.
It's weird, right?
Like yeah, I know, right? Like I definitely didn't want to teach. I could care less to teach him, and I was selfish.
Why did why did you take up the role of teaching? Sorry, I cut you off.
No. I'm glad you asked it because I was trying to figure out, because I wanted to say it. So, when Professor Al, when he got like the new location, he started opening up, like, you know, like new times.
Yeah.
And the school that I went to before here, they had a 6 a.m. class, and that was a class. That was the only class I could make because, like, I was working so much. And 6 a.m. was like perfect for me because I'm like, I wanted to like get that early sweat in, right? And so Coach Rico was going to teach him. And I told him, I said, anytime that you can't make it, just let me know. And I said, I open up. You know what I mean? Like I always want to keep the doors open at 6 o'clock because I never wanted it to stop. And I'm like, even if no one comes, I'm going to come because I'm like, I want the 6 a.m. to be something that's always there. And then at a certain point it'll grow. And then like when I came back in town, when I came back in the country, Rigo's like, hey, I'm going to be gone for a couple of days. Like he had got a job. And so he was gone like a Tuesday, Wednesday here, a Thursday there, a Monday here, whatever. And those are the days I would just open up, and I was just going to like, open up, and it's like, hey, look, let's do some free rolling, you know, type of thing, right? Yeah. And Rico and Coach, I was like, no, you're gonna teach something. If you're gonna step in this role, you're gonna step in it, you know?
Yeah.
And it kind of made me step up to the plate, and I was like, okay, you know, and that's how it kind of happened. And look, man, I'm just super drill heavy. I'm like, look, the way I learned properly was like, you just sat in that, you were uncomfortable. You sat inside control until you got out properly. You sat in mount until you got out properly. You sat in back until you got out properly. And then you were rewarded if you held someone down inside control. You were rewarded if you held someone's back, you know? And I did that for like 2 years at White Belt. And I got so good at those positions. And when I saw everyone else not being able to do it, I'm like, oh, this is what I'm going to teach. You know what I mean? I'll show you how I was taught.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, you're just not teaching that. You're going to teach some more stuff. And I'm like, I don't want to teach any technique. I don't like really know technique like that. I know how I do it, but I don't know how to tell everybody else to do it. And then that's just like, now I just kind of fell into this role. So
that was, go ahead.
Yeah, hold on. And I'll tell you what, man, it kind of sucks too, because like you're spending so much time teaching and like, you know, trying to show something. And then like you're here so much, like you're tired. Like I'm like beat, man. I'm here now, man. I was here this morning. I'm probably gonna be here tonight, you know, because I'm trying to learn, I'm trying to figure this out. But then like you got some of the guys who only know you as a competitor and they want a piece. And you're like, look, I don't really got it in me right now. And they like, they try to beat on you and brag about it. And you're like, oh man, like I'm not, all right. I'm like, I'm going to pick a day, get some rest. I'm going to pick a day and I'm going to come in. I'm going to do you. But that never happens, man. Like, and plus, man, once you're a coach, that stuff goes out the window. I mean, you can't be like trying to bully a student anymore. Like you're in a different role now. So,
yeah,
but it still lives in me. The animal still lives in me, so.
No, as it should.
I got started on accident. I got started because I didn't want the 6 a.m.s to never be closed. And so since I decided that, they decided to like, all right, then you're going to teach that.
Okay.
That's it.
You know, I'm happy that happened at the end of the day, because I think you're a good coach, whether you realize it or not. You know, I've learned a lot
from
your 6 a.m. classes that I've been to. And just little things, just little... not even things I didn't know, so to say, but just like little reminders too, right? Just like,
yeah.
Because you learn so much and you kind of forget the basics sometimes. And sometimes it's just
like the little things.
Like the
it's
diamond.
The little things.
Like the diamond thing.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Like, I already know that. And I understand the concept of getting your knee and elbow together, right? And I know that's my only goal when I'm on bottom. But sometimes you forget that you can do that before they even pass. And that'll just stop them from even passing to begin with, right? And that was something that I was like, oh yeah, I could just like just focus on the diamond and don't let that diamond be broken, you know?
Yeah, man. I forgot that you were at that class, man. I'm like, you know what's funny? I forgot that you was in class because I remember seeing you and I remember like kind of working on it. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to myself, I was so insecure about that class because I knew how important that was to me, learning how to do it and understanding that concept and utilizing that concept. But I thought everybody in class was going to think that was stupid. You know what I mean? Like you really don't get it until like you're doing it all the time. You're like, oh shoot, that's all I got to do. And so I remember like I called them diamond rolls and like watching everybody do them. I'm like, oh, this is dumb. But during the rolls, I saw Big P doing it. I saw Piper doing it. I'm like, oh, shoot, they're doing it. But then I realized they're doing it and it made me feel really good.
Yeah. You know? So have you had any like other moments like that that have made you very proud as a coach? That's like, oh, these students are getting it. These students are picking it up and executing the things you're showing.
Yeah, I had one with. All right. So. Every once in a while, like I have a purple belt in my class and I'm a blue belt. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to bring in a lot of doubts. Yeah. That's going to bring in a lot of doubts. So, one of the purple belts one day went to coach and told him, he says, hey, I don't care if Case is a blue belt. Like I'm learning something from him. One of the classes that I taught was about like isolations, like isolating the arms. And that's like really important, I think. And he had brought that to coach's attention. And he says, hey, I learned a lot. He says, and this really helped me. And that made me feel really good. And two of the other guys that I that were took my classes, they came up to me and they said, I can be very self-deprecating. And I'm like, oh, yeah, man, I'll be teaching another class. And I'm like, oh, you are? Like, I'm going to come to it. I like your classes. Yeah. And that made me feel good. You know what I mean? Like somebody's getting some type of value out of my class.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I need it. I mean, what you said I needed and what they said I needed, you know, that, all right, now, see you guys. All right, brother.
That noon class, who's all there? Who you saying bye to?
Yeah. All right. See you, Chloe. I don't care. It could have been sweaty. All right, Aiden. All right.
What's today? Yeah. Today's Thursday. Oh, it's Friday. Was it Rico teaching?
No. Coach Sam.
Coach Sam? Okay.
Coach Sam. Yeah. Who is like, so there are three, there are a few coaches here. There's at the top, it's Alex, Coach Sam, Rico, and Evan. And I've learned a lot from everyone. Al is probably the hardest on me. So, of course, I got to learn a lot from him. I learned a lot from Rico, and I also learned a lot from Sam. But I learned different things. Like, I learned so many different things from them. Sam knows how to, like, present. Coach just has a wealth of information. And Rico is like, we kind of work off each other, and he shows me, like, how to, like, shape the class. And so it's nice just to have all that, like, at my disposal, you know?
Yeah. You know, I wanted to go back real quick. You were talking about those moments of teaching. When I was in Italy, it was like an honor for me because I was asked to show some moves while I was there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it really got me.
Were you scared? Were you scared?
I mean, yes and no. Usually, if I'm ever in a position where I get the opportunity to teach, I always teach something I know very well. And like lapel chokes, I'm pretty solid. Like lapel chokes from side control, I'm pretty solid at teaching those. I understand all the concepts behind those. I understand why you're doing what you're doing. So in the sense of, yes, I'm scared or nervous to be in front of people. Yes, definitely 100% scared, but it's like, I know this material wasn't new material, right? It's things that I've executed in competitions before. So it made it very easy for me, like, okay, let me just go watch what I did. Let me go watch a couple of videos that are geared towards this same move, just so I make sure that I have this in my mind. Because I feel like as a coach, yeah, you can go in raw, right? And someone like Professor Al can go in raw, but I feel like someone at my level, I sometimes like I need to go back and do like your review of your homework, your study guide, right? Like, oh yeah, I do this because of that. I do that. Like you were saying earlier, I do this, but I don't know why I'm doing it, you know?
Yeah.
So I was definitely nervous, but it was nice when the students, like I felt like the students were getting it. I was like, yes. And even yes, 100%. Even one of the things that I taught Professor Amon was like, he was like, oh, I've never seen that before. I like that. And I was like, oh, that's dope. Like I was able to teach you, the person who runs this school, something. And that, you know, that's invigorating in itself. But yeah, no, definitely nervousness and scared in this sense of like, am I going to be good at this? I don't know. You know,
could you touched on something, you know, like my game is like half. Hold on. I got to hold on. Cause I don't want to miss something, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. Cause I want to see one thing. okay. Never mind. It ain't happening. It ain't going down.
Okay.
There's something. When you get here, I'll let you know. I don't want to be talking about it right now.
Okay.
But you touched on something, because you said, look, I have a half guard game. That's my game, right?
Yeah.
I know how I do it, you know, and I know how it works for me. I know how it works for my body. I do certain things that may be completely unorthodox that everyone else doesn't do. You have like you have your game. How do you make your game universal for the whole room? Because your game works for you. You know what I mean? And yeah. so that's what I was dealing with. Because I'm like, you can teach something like, oh, well, I do this. You know what I mean? But how do we do this? You know what I mean? Am I making sense?
Yeah. No, it makes sense. I think it comes down to just jujitsu in general and understanding the revolutions or the chain of it, right? Is like, mm-hmm. if you know that if you do X, Y is going to happen. For example, if you know that you take, God, I don't even know what it's called anymore. You know, why can't I think of the name of it? I know what it's called too.
Kimura grip?
It's pretty much Kimura grip, but you're like three quarters mount, right? I forgot what that position is called. Like, when you grab it, huh?
Gift wrap?
Exactly, gift wrap. You know, you get the gift mm-hmm. wrap, right? You know that you're pretty much only going to the back, right? So why are you grabbing the gift wrap? If they turtle, you know, but you also know that they can turtle too and get out of the gift wrap. So if you know where you're going in the game, I think it makes it easier to make it applicable for your students, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Where it's like, you know, if you do an arm bar, you know they can only spin one way or they spin the other way. Okay, you're losing the back mount, you know, do you come up and take the mount? You were teaching me a couple other ways to control. You go double unders and like pin, like it's those kind of things that like, as long as you know what comes after, it's easier to make it universal for everyone because then they can go, I'm going to use this for X, Y, and Z. And then you can also articulate, I'm doing this because I'm going to move them into this position. Or maybe I'm not going to move in a position. I'm doing this because I want to execute this submission here. But if they move to this position, I know where to go, right? So I just feel like if you understand the chain of it all, it makes it applicable to everyone.
Yeah. I guess I don't understand the chain. Like, my body understands the chain, but here it doesn't. I mean, I feel like my body understands it better than my brain does.
Yeah.
You know? Because people do certain things, and I'll respond to it a certain way. All right, brother, have a good one. You be here tonight?
I'll try.
Okay.
Is that Emilio? Yeah.
All right, brother. Good seeing you again.
Is that Emilio?
Man. No. It's a new student. New student.
What? Shout out new students. Okay.
Hey, so again, I got to tell you off air. So
okay. We'll talk. Don't worry.
Yeah.
We're talking about the chain.
It's funny. Okay. But go ahead.
I think you were about to say something, but I'll finish up with this. Is like a better way to articulate it is just like knowing the why of it. Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You sound like Rico. Yeah,
it's just like knowing the why that I'm doing this and being able to explain why you're doing something to your student.
Yeah.
To your students is what I think is the easiest way to make it applicable for everyone.
Yeah. So I guess that's why I'm teaching really simple things like diamond. You know,
what do you mean you're teaching simple things?
Like, isolating the arm. Mm-hmm. That's simple enough. This is how you do it, you know. This is how you do it from this position, this is how you do it from that position. Like to explain. I've tried to explain underhook. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's all I do. I go for underhook every single time. Like I would roll with someone and I would get an underhook mm-hmm. from a crazy position.
Yeah.
And then people are like, oh, that's all you're doing is going for undercut? I'm like, yeah, it's easy. All you got to do is just shoot under here, right?
Yeah.
Then when I try to teach it, I'm realizing that I do little things here and there to bait your arm up to get under there. I'm like, I don't, like, those whys, I don't know because I don't even know what I'm doing already. You know what I mean? Like, I would have to, like, watch a tape of me to understand that part.
Yeah.
You know?
But even, you know, ahead. Like, why do you get the underhook though, right? Because that gives you better control. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, gives you better control. And so if you could explain that to your student, it gives them a reason to go for the underhook. You know what I mean? Just like getting up on your side to even get done, like turning, get on your side when you're in bottom at any point, knowing to get on your side, like most people just get flattened out. And, you know, even me, like I play a lockdown half guard. Sometimes this is something that earlier on in my career, I was very guilty of. It's like just letting people flatten me out so I could get the lockdown. But now where I'm at, it's like, well, I know I have to get on my side. Let me see if I can get the lockdown before I get flattened out, instead of just getting flattened out and getting the lockdown so I can, you know, come up into that coyote guard, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. See, that's why when you come back, we're going to work together.
Yeah.
And then, I'll tell you right now, man, I've been coming to 3 days and I'm fried and I'm trying my best to learn all this stuff and I'm just like overloaded right now. And I'm like, oh, this is what like jiu-jitsu is, you know? This is like jiu-jitsu is an endless well of information. Mm-hmm. And I was only like kind of just putting my hand in it. And it's like kind of like, oh, I like this spot. And then now I'm getting pushed down in it. And I'm like, I'm drowning, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, we gonna work some leg locks when I get back, because that's all I'm trying to
do. That's all he got me doing. That's all he got me doing right now. And I hate it.
Why? Why do you hate it?
I had a tournament. It was, I talked about this. I had a tournament at ADCC, beating the guy the whole time, 10 seconds left. I had him in turtle. He shot under. He went for a knee bar. I didn't know how to get out. I tapped and he held on to it.
Yeah.
And being in a situation like that where someone just like doesn't let up on a submission, is a bit terrifying.
Yeah.
And so when we came into class, coach was like, hey, I'm going to teach you this so you can get out. And he did it and we trained on it. He says, all right, come on, let's work on it. And I was just shaking. I was shaking. I was scared and I didn't show up to class for like another 3 days.
Dang. Okay.
And that one little incident got in my head and I was scared. And now I'm out of it. Like I'm not scared anymore. I can play and I can lose. But it's still like a level of fear that I haven't quite all the way got over yet.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I get
it. It was terrifying, dude.
You know why I don't do any no-gi. Like it's not because I don't want to. It's because, well, compete no-gi, because I train no-gi. No-gi is because I know it's primary leg locks. I know. And with my knees and everything, man, like I always say, my safety is my responsibility. And I don't want those dudes who are just, I've seen, who's that 17-year-old kid who just be ripping freaking
ankle locks? His name is Pat. Pat. I can't think of his last name, but I know you're talking about.
Yeah, there's guys like that out there. It's like, there's no reason for that. And if you're skilled enough, if you really are skilled enough, you don't have to do that because you don't see Gordon doing that. You know what I mean? Like,
no, they have something that's called a gentleman's tap, where they catch you and it's pretty much checkmate.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you want me to go or you're going to tap, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, they'll kind of like look at each other and stop and like acknowledge, right? I'm not bashing this kid because I saw an interview with him and he had made some solid points. He was going against grown men and he says these grown men were trying to rip his ankle apart.
Mm.
He says, okay, then this is fair game. He says, if you're going to do me like that, if I'm in here and it's no holds barred, then I'm going to do you like that.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Go ahead.
But like, I value the gentleman's tap. I got you. This is checkmate. Should we keep going? You know, versus like just ripping it. You know, it's like,
yeah,
look, man, I'm 40. You know what I mean? Like, I'm good, man. You won, you know?
Yeah. You know, so, I want to walk tomorrow. I got.
Yeah, I want to go to work.
What did DJ say? I got to work on Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Hey, dude. Hold on. Like, slightly off the subject. Yeah. I remember my first competition and even my second competition. Even when you were there, I was telling the guys, "I'm like, look, we all got to go to work tomorrow." You know, so I was like, look. I'll tap early if I have to, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm like, I'm going to be gracious to you. You know, and everyone kind of like agreed on it.
Yeah.
But then some people just wasn't. No. Some people were still kind of going for the juggling. Anyway, but yeah, that's exactly what I said.
Speaking of tapping early, and we got to wrap up here soon.
Yes, sir.
That was, you know, the one good thing I will say about, I think I texted you and T in our little group chat. And told you about an open mat I went to recently. Was it last Sunday? And that was one thing I didn't expect. Was like there was a lot of like gentleman steps. Like there was like this brown belt went for an ankle lock, and he was like he didn't rip it. He was just like, yeah, let me. I was like, oh, thank you. Like I appreciate that. I was like, I think he like elbowed me or somebody. I was like, I'm sorry. I was like, no, you're good, bro. I can tell you're not trying to kill me. And I respect that. Thank you. He was like, nah, we're just trying to get better here.
Huh? What was you at?
Where was I? I was at, was it Ralph Gracie, Berkeley. Ralph Gracie, Berkeley.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You told me. Yeah.
I'm going to hit that up this Sunday. Honestly, I went there and I haven't trained all week, man. I've been kind of lazy. But
yeah, you need to get back here.
I don't like any of the schools up here, bro. The schools up here are garbage. I don't want to say garbage, but not either. The schools are too far for me to want to drive during the week. Like I'm talking 30 plus minutes, or they're just like very much like, oh, we all have to wear the same colored gi. We all have to like, you know, the culty stuff that I'm not a fan.
Dude, the culty stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, just, what? Go ahead.
I know this is a little bit off subject, but we talked about this. This is good to say. Like, you are privileged if you're in the right area to train for jiu-jitsu.
Yes.
If you go outside of California, like if you're like, I feel like most places, like there's a lot of places in California, you know, LA and especially San Diego. San Diego has like 3 or 4 gyms, like high performance gyms. LA, you have a whole bunch of high performance gyms. In Austin, you have a whole lot of high performance gyms. I want to say New Jersey and New York have a couple places. Other than that, man, you go outside of here, Chicago, like I'm not talking crap, but like there's a lot of gyms in a lot of other states. When they come here and you be like, you're a brown belt? You're a purple belt? And I'm like, you know what I mean? It's embarrassing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think we're like very privileged to be where we are. You know what I mean?
And you know, honestly, I feel like that same thing is in SoCal too. Like even though we have these pockets that are like high level gyms, you know, some of the open mats that I've been to in SoCal or even up here in NorCal and stuff, just like it's not. Like you said, you're a brown belt, you're a purple belt. Like, what are you learning? What are they teaching you? Is it just like you've been here for time? And it's not like I'm some athletic specimen, right? Like I compete and I work out. Don't get me wrong, and I do things that give me an edge above other people. But that shouldn't change the technique ability of the jiu-jitsu.
Yep, absolutely. Your
technique isn't there. And if I can pick that up at the level that I'm at, then that lets me know that your school isn't teaching you what they need to be teaching you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, before we get off here, I do want to ask you one more question. And it's about like your definition of success. I want to look at it from two different aspects now. Well, I guess two different aspects in the sense of like your definition of success in the realm of jiu-jitsu, right? Now where you're at as a coach, how can you grade yourself on success and if you are achieving that level? And then what is success off the mats as well?
Success on and off the mats. Okay.
Yeah.
Success on the mat, on the mats, just showing up.
Okay.
That's my definition of success. I see a lot of people who come in here and get discouraged and they still come back. That is the most successful person, that they come back. You know, I watch a lot of people who are struggling and they're like, and you look at them like, I don't know if they're ever going to get it. And they come back every single day and they get better. And when they get better, I'm like, oh my God, like you're growing. You have no idea. If you keep on coming, you're going to be so much better. Yeah. That to me is success. Has nothing to do with win or losses. You come here every single day. That's success. That's on the mats. Okay. Off the mats, I want to say Giannis had the perfect definition for it. I can't make it any better than his. If you go online, look up Giannis' definition of success, that's what my definition is. Okay. Do you know what I'm referring to?
No, I have no idea. I've never heard it.
A reporter asked him, do you feel like it was a failure that you made it to the finals and lost? Mm-hmm. He says that there's no such thing as failure. There's only progression and there's only success. You know what I mean? He says, it's failure because I beat all these teams and I lost at the end. You're going to call that a failure?
Yeah.
He says, no, it was a success that I got through all this and we're going to start all over again and we're going to do it again and we're going to get here. You know, and it's all this progression. It's never a failure.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I believe it's as long as you're doing the thing that you're supposed to do, you're always successful. You know?
Yeah.
I honestly don't believe in losses. Like I believe in like, oh, now I get to learn something, you know?
Yeah.
We talked about this, and I'll be quick. We talked about this. We had a long conversation about this in here, and it was heated. And I was like, I'm a person. I don't know if you ever seen me, but I'm the same person when I win and when I don't allow my losses to get me down, and I don't allow my wins to get me up. I say even. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, the only thing that matters is the performance. Yeah. How do I feel about my performance? I don't care about the win or losses. Because I've had losses that my performance was greater than the wins that I had. You know, and I was more proud of that loss than I was the win.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, it's about the performance. So success is defined by I'm looking for the word right now. What you're doing and how the intention that you and what you do.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I didn't have the right words for it, but yeah, that's what it is. You know, I don't want anyone out there ever thinking like win and losses define you, because they don't. And I'll teach my kids that. I never want my kids to ever go out and be like, oh, I want to win. I'm like, no, we're not about women. Winning. I care about effort. Your effort is what's important to me.
Yeah.
That's the success is.
I can respect
that. All right,
end of rant. That's a good, that's beautiful, man. And I can kind of feel the same way in a lot of ways. Yeah. I just feel like, you know, sometimes people get caught in, myself included, get caught up in the like, oh, did I do X, Y, and Z? But like, even just you saying showing up every day, you know, that's a success. You know, like I haven't been, like I said,
especially for someone like you, you know what was gangster about you? No one else would notice but us, right? Even when you were hurt, you were still showing up.
Yeah.
Even when you were hurt, you were still showing up. That to me is success.
Yeah.
You can stay home and eat if you want, but you came in here and you still got your work in. And you're hurt. You were even hurt when you came in here when you were training. But you still showing up.
Yeah.
You're coming to the mat.
I try to get at least 3 days a weekend. Like I said, since I've been up here, I just haven't found a gym that really speaks to me. Short of going out of my way to go about 40, 50 minutes to one of the old gyms that I trained at before. And that's just that's just a long drive for me right now. I can't commit to that. But what I am doing every day is I'm doing what I used to do is I'm studying my videos. Like I have a whole archive of BJJ Fanatic videos, and that's all I'm doing is like, okay, we're just going to keep studying leg locks until if I'm watching the same video over and over again, we're going to study that. My lady gets off of work. I'm like, hey, can I practice this on you for a couple of seconds? It's not training, so to say, because it's not the same intensity. It's not the same, you know, she doesn't know how to move the way other people know how to move, but I'm still locking in those mental reps in a lot of ways. So I'm still doing stuff like that. So hopefully it'll play out when I come back and I leg lock you.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope so. I can't wait to come back.
I'll be back. What's today? Is it 7th? Yeah, I'll be back in like 3 to 5 days, bro. 3 to 5 days.
So. I'll be waiting on you. Yeah. I'll be here waiting on you.
Yeah.
I want you to know that.
I'll be there for a little bit, and then I'm going to Mexico, and then I got to figure out when I'm coming back again. So, but man, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it. Is there anything you want to shout out or make note of before you head out?
I can care less about myself. I'm going to shout out my honey bunny. She's in Brushoff. And my little one, Lulu. I love you both.
You're telling the world. Okay.
I don't know if you can do it. Yeah. I don't know T's, what's it called? His at on Instagram.
Yeah.
But if you find it, or you can say, if you know it, can you say it? Yeah. It's Street Renegade.
It's Renegade. Let me look it up right now while I'm here. Of course, my phone is moving slow. Well, yeah, it's Renegade_Streets_Finest.
Whoever's watching this, if you can just visit his page, he had a family member that passed. He had a loved one that passed.
Yeah.
And they're taking donations for the funeral. So if you can just take a look at the page, if you can donate, please do.
Yeah, I'll put the GoFundMe. I think I can put the GoFundMe link up. This episode's going to air by Saturday. It was Friday, so I'll probably get this done by like Sunday, Monday. So it'll be up. Yeah, and I'll put the link up.
That's the only day I want to shout out.
Yeah, even if it's $5, just skip your cup of coffee or something. Show some love.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because we have all been there. We've all lost someone. And if we haven't, like, God bless you when you do. Because, you know, I know how rough it is, you know.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
But Casey, a.k.a. Danger Ross, you know, thanks Danger for tapping Ross, in with right. us. We'll get at you later and I'll see you in a couple of days.
All right, bro. I'll keep the massive warm for you, man, when you get back.
Bet, man. And everyone else, y'all stay blessed.